It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
A Trump economy. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. I am your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning. We've been on since 8 o'clock today, so we're already warmed up. We're talking a Trump economy. We have 2 months until a new party in the White House. Contrary to what most of us cynical in politics, which is most of America, what that group believes is that modern-day presidents don't really do anything they promise they're going to do. However, that's not true. Modern-day presidents keep two-thirds, call it almost 70% of what they promise on the campaign trail. That's a big number. Today, we're talking five of those most impactful ideas or Trump policy changes, how they're going to impact the economy. We talked about taxes, the personal side, the business side, the estate side already. Well, what about some of these other areas that have a giant influence or impact on our lives? Healthcare costs, Social Security, consumer prices. Well, let's talk about healthcare for a minute. Trump has vowed again to dismantle Obamacare. Remember, though, that recently and more recently, this is the last 2 weeks since the election, that we see a slightly softer, more presidential Trump, which I think is fine. It's a good thing. I know it has some folks reeling, but we've got to remember that he's not going to do every single thing he said literally. And we talked about this thought that, and I think that you're going to continue to hear more of this, is that the media for so long has hung on every single word he said. So the media throughout the campaign takes Trump literally. Every single thing he says, the media says, well, we take Trump literally, but not seriously. And Trump voters, on the other hand, for the longest time, have taken Trump seriously, but not literally. Think about this from the Affordable Care Act. He said, we're going to dismantle Obamacare. Well, he promised to repeal and replace, but now he says that he wants to keep certain parts. So insurers not being able to deny individuals for pre-existing conditions. He also wants your kids to be able to stay with your parents until age 26 and stay on a plan. So he wants to keep parts of Obamacare. And I've talked to a lot of conservatives over the last several weeks. And I'm talking about right-wing conservatives. And most folks believe now, and they want to keep pre-existing condition. I want to keep pre-existing condition. I think in America, it could be you next that has a pre-existing condition and now you can't get health care. Well, how does that feel? It could be your good friend or it could be family member. So even conservatives like the thought of a system that can cover folks that otherwise used not to be able to get health care. And I think that's fine. And whether you like the politics of that or not, or the economics of that or not, what I'm seeing here is a softer, more rational Trump. Yes, he promised all these hardline positions. The Clinton investigation is another one. He was going to prosecute Hillary for her emails, and now he says he's got to think about it. So he's backing away a little bit from his extreme commitment to throw her in jail. He said the same thing about Comey from the FBI. Now he's backing away from his statements to make the director resign because of the email case for Hillary. He's going to maybe release now his tax returns. On deportation, Trump says that, look, he said he was going to get rid of all illegal Mexican immigrants. Now he says he's only going to deport the illegal aliens with criminal records. Mexican border. We all saw this in the 60 Minutes interview. Instead of a wall, hey, there's going to be parts that have a fence. Big deal. You know, that's not him backing away from a position to secure the border. That's him just becoming a more rational person that now has done the job of getting into the White House. What's the first job if you're a politician, if you really want to impact change? You got to get elected. And he, like no one else, has ever been able to be this good at understanding these harder line positions and these headline positions they worked. People understood really where he wasn't wishy-washy on his ultimate campaign position. Now, in order to get some of these things through, he's going to have to compromise. He's going to have to soften a little bit if he's going to make these things get through Congress. Going back to this important, and I think now more and more folks are going to start taking Trump seriously and not literally, because that's the mistake that the media has made all along. Trump voters, no. Media, yes. That's who's messed this up. Let's talk about Social Security. So let's go back to healthcare costs. He wants to keep pre-existing condition. That's 20 million Americans that are now nobody wants to see them all lose coverage. It's not totally clear what that alternative is going to be. But one, we're going to see pre-existing conditions capped. Number two, we're going to see more competition. We're going to see more competition. Maybe it's just over state lines, but we've got to see that in order to have healthcare survive in America at a high level. We still have the best healthcare system in the world, arguably. In order for that to survive, you've got to see some sort of competition. It might be, and if you're a LASIK surgeon, if you're someone that has done procedures for years and you're a doctor that has done LASIK for years, maybe you agree with this, maybe you don't. But there's no arguing that it used to be only rich folks that could get LASIK. Now, it's a mass market. Anybody can get LASIK. The costs have come down dramatically. Well, guess what? That's a procedure that's never been covered by insurance. Wait a minute. So it's never been covered by insurance, so it's had to be a free market medical procedure. And guess what? The price has actually come down and the technology's gotten better. So now that for even a lower cost than we saw back in the 90s, you can get an even better LASIK procedure for less money. So you've seen this opening of competition increase the value of a very important surgery that millions and millions of Americans have gotten. So LASIK is a good example of free open market competition within medicine that has actually had a deflation in prices and not an inflation. Wouldn't that be amazing if we saw something similar throughout healthcare? It's not gonna happen in every realm of healthcare. You're having a heart attack, you're not shopping around, I get that. But for a lot of healthcare that we could actually be consumers and we'd have the time to shop around to some extent, that's a big part of healthcare. So maybe it's half of the system. And let's say half of the system had a deflation in prices. Can you imagine that? So that's exactly what Trump is going for here. So that's what I think will happen. More competition. I really don't believe people are going to get kicked off healthcare rolls for pre-existing conditions. Social Security. If you're a politician, you can't say Social Security's going away or it's not going to, it's very difficult to get elected as a politician if you're going to change Social Security dramatically. So Trump has repeatedly said he's going to support the current system. He opposes raising the retirement age. But you and I both know, and he knows this too, that you can't just, the system and the math right now doesn't support Social Security payments. So if we're going to get some compromise through taxes and through healthcare, there's the potential to take that Social Security age a little bit higher. And I can tell you that I know that that's not something that people like to hear, but right now the way it works is that the earliest you can get your full retirement age, or they call it your normal retirement age, is 66. By the time I get Social Security, my normal retirement age to get Social Security without getting it penalized is 67. So it slowly migrates from 66 all the way up to age 67. Well, what's to say that doesn't migrate another half a year or 6 months? What's to say that doesn't migrate another 12 months so that somebody who today is 25 can't really get their full retirement until age 68. Is that change the end of the world? It's not. So that's the kind of compromise that I could see happening. But again, I don't think if you're 50 or older, I don't think you're going to see any change to your Social Security payments whatsoever in your lifetime. The other question here is about consumer prices. So we know that Trump has been opposed to NAFTA and the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the TPP, and he thinks that these agreements were fundamentally flawed from the beginning, from when they were negotiated. And they've resulted in jobs going overseas. But remember, the reason, the benefits that we've seen from global trade, NAFTA, is that you can get, and I think of these as lower value goods. So I think of this as t-shirts and can openers. artificial Christmas trees. You can buy this stuff for $10, $20 at Target. So you want to know, you can go to Old Navy and get a $9 t-shirt with a superhero on the front. And that was probably made for 37 cents in China. You can buy it for $9 here today as opposed to $30 without NAFTA potentially. So if he unravels these trade agreements, could you see the price of consumer goods go up? Sure. But I'm not seeing that for, I look at this as the price is going up for lower value goods. So t-shirts, can openers, stuff made in China, fans, light bulbs, toys. So this is something that we can live with. And then I can live with slightly higher prices on a toy from CVS that's going to break in a day anyway. And by the way, that's what happens. We had three new toys from CVS yesterday. We bought them. They're already all broken. It's like the worst. And I'm okay with having those low-value goods go up a little bit in price if we can go back into the global marketplace and renegotiate those trade agreements. Maybe it's this 40% or 45% tariff on Chinese goods. Is that really going to happen? I don't think so. I think it's more of a negotiating point for Trump so that he can go back to the table and get better deals from the get-go. That's what we're faced with here. And the sooner we realize that, the sooner the media takes Trump seriously and not hang on his every literal word, I think the better off we'll all be. You are listening to Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here, WSB Radio. I am your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning to take calls and your questions. We are here and we've been talking about how Trump policy potentially will impact the economy. So what's the new Trump economy look like? Taxes, healthcare, Social Security, these trade agreements, or will prices go up? We've already talked about the last couple of weeks, the stock market, winners, losers, jobs. So these are the things that are important to us as a family as we move forward over the next 4 years. And there are gonna be some changes. There's dramatic change when a candidate finally gets into office. 70% of their policies or promises get enacted. That's a big number. And there's a lot of new things that could happen. So we're gonna keep on top of that. I do want to go to the phones here in the bottom of the half hour. So if you're headed out of church, if you're headed out of maybe to go to brunch or play golf, we are happy to take your phone calls if you've got a minute and you're worried about something. So maybe you've got an investment income question. Can you retire now? Maybe you have a question about a Roth IRA or 401k contribution. It's RMD season, required minimum distributions, and you've been getting letters from your investment company, and you've got to take that. What are the implications of that if you don't do it? Maybe it's an allocation question, and should you shift or change things because of the new Trump economy? You've got healthcare questions and costs. If maybe you're just in that sandwich economy where you've got you're taking care of your parents and your kids, and what do you do in that case? Maybe it's just a product question. It's an ETF, exchange-traded fund, or a mutual fund. Is there a way to lower your cost and still get value from the securities that you have? And again, maybe you're just now responsible for new money. It's an inheritance, or now you're the trustee, or you've got cash that's just sitting there doing nothing, and you're getting frustrated as the market's going up and the bond market has actually come down a little bit. Where are some of those opportunities for you to get invested? The number here, and we'll go to the phones in the bottom of the half hour, 404-872-0750. Ryan Ely standing by. Shoemate weather, nothing but sunshine all day, cloud-free skies, chilly with afternoon highs in the mid-50s, clear highs over the ATL sky, lows tonight in the 30s. You're listening to Money Matters. We're going to go to the phones again, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. More Money Matters straight ahead.
Now back to Wes Moss and the money and investing advice you need.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. Bottom of the hour here. It's time for your calls and questions. Phone lines open. 404-872-0750. The number here in the studio if you have questions about the new world that we live in, new politics, new economy, what that means for your investments, whether it's an ETF or a mutual fund or an annuity or a stock, something that has got you worried and you've wanted to get just a second opinion. And that's what I'm here for on Sunday mornings. Maybe you feel like you're too conservative or too aggressive, or maybe you just got cash sitting there and it's doing nothing and you're frustrated about that cash. We're here to talk that through and how it potentially impacts you and your family and your future. And that's what we do here on Sunday morning. So the number, again, here in the studio, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK, the number here in the studio. Ryan Ely standing by to take your calls and your questions. I'm going to start out with Alan, who joins us from Marietta. Alan, good morning. Hi. Welcome to Money Matters. What's up, man?
I'm just wondering how it's going to affect the capital gains tax on selling homes, stocks, and other things like that, because it's outrageous now. Is this going to lower it, or is it going to stay the same? Or
well, okay, so what Trump is proposing on capital gains, and remember, capital gains right now is a little bit confusing because if you're in the 10 or 15% bracket, your capital gain tax is actually zero. So I don't see that going any lower. I don't see that going away. But remember, the maximum capital gain tax today, depending on your bracket, is 20%, Alan. But then there's an additional 3.8% surcharge on top of that if you're a high income earner. And that was a new tax back, effectively for new healthcare back in 2011 or 2013 when that started. So really, right now, your top dividend rate is 23.8%, and your capital gain tax rate is 23.8%. It's the same for dividends and for capital gains, Alan. Trump is at least trying to eliminate the extra 3.8%. So he's going to keep that at 20%. Another thing that he's going to do, and this you're probably, Alan, do you run a hedge fund?
No, I basically invest in stock.
Okay. I'm kind of joking about that because there's not that many there's not a lot of hedge fund guys out there. But remember, the fascinating thing about the hedge fund business is that hedge fund guys make this tremendous amount of money. It's called 2 and 20, 2% of the assets they manage plus 20% of the profits.
Wow.
But what is fascinating about that is that they might make $10, $20, $30 million in a year because of that structure. They're able to take that $30 million in income and only pay capital gain tax on it. It's called the carried interest rule. And okay. this kind of escapes a lot of Americans because it's hard to even fathom a hedge fund manager making $30, $40, $50 million in a year. This is per year we're talking. And then only having to pay 20% tax on that, or 23.8 to be exact. Now Trump is trying to eliminate that. So there's some confusion on this particular topic. What he's trying to eliminate is the carried interest rate that can be at capital gain, so that hedge fund guys that make $50 million a year only pay 23% in taxes. He's going to try to have that go back to just ordinary income tax like everybody else.
So it would be advisable to wait like 3 or 4 months after Trump gets into office before you make any radical financial decisions?
Well, I think that if you're gonna sell all of your stock,
that's what I was saying.
Yeah, I would just tell you that if you are, I think that first of all, it's going to take a long time, Alan. Thank you for your call. It's going to take a long time for anything to get passed. So it's probably, we don't know when the new lower capital gain rate is even going to take into effect. Even if they do it next year, what does that mean? If you sold a stock in January, but the law didn't pass until March or July, who knows exactly how they grandfather in or not? So if it were me, I would not let the tax tail wag the investment dog. That is a philosophy that I've stuck with for many, many years, is that I'm very cognizant of taxes. It's a big deal. But what's a bigger deal, Alan, is just being in the right investments for you, regardless of what the tax environment it is. And even in even if capital gains do change, we're only talking about a 4% lowering in that overall capital gain tax. So I wouldn't hold on to a bad stock, if that's what you're asking, that you don't like to begin with, just because capital gain rates are going to come down a little bit in the future. If you have something that you shouldn't own or you want to get rid of and you have a gain in it, I wouldn't wait for Congress. Quite frankly, I'd never wait on Congress for anything, Alan. But I think it's an important question here, and it's a scenario I think a lot of us are thinking, like, should we do something new? And by the way, Alan, thank you for your call, my friend. The number here in the studio on a Sunday morning to take your financial questions about how the world's going to impact you, what you should be doing with your investments, what you should be doing 401k or IRA, or is it an annuity question or a trust or a family issue or a real estate question? We're here to answer that. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Alan brings up a really good point. Do I do anything? Do I wait for this change to come about and now redo? Do I wait until there's a tax change in order to figure out my investments? Do I change things today knowing what's going to happen with potentially whether to do tax bracket or a new law, how's that going to impact the market? And the answer is, I don't see anything radically different except some extra economic stimulus from Trump. I mean, we have lower taxes could very well mean an economy that runs a little hotter. But what's interesting about the markets and the world that we live in is they react so quickly to the potential future outcome. I mean, we've already seen defense stocks go up 10%. We've already seen pharma go up between 5 and 10%. We've seen some of these banking companies like JP Morgan go up by 15% just in the last 2 weeks since Trump was elected. It hasn't even been 2 weeks. And you've seen this massive rotation into sectors that have been kind of suppressed, all thinking, well, it's going to be Democrats and it's going to be Hillary. And now, because so many bets were made thinking that it was going to be a Democrat in Washington for the next 4 years, that there were some massive changes that had to take place for a new potential outlook. And it happened really quickly. And I think it happened so quickly because the timeline historically looks almost identical to Brexit. No one thought Brexit would happen. It did happen. Markets sold off by 5% to 10%. Within 2 days, massive sell-off. But then within 8 trading days, the U.S. market was right back to where it was before Brexit. Then the same thing effectively played out in the Trump timeline. Trump wasn't supposed to win. Market reflected that. All of a sudden, he won. Wham! You see this giant rotation into all the stocks that didn't expect him to win and could benefit in a greater way under a Trump presidency versus Hillary. That's why we saw pharmaceutical stocks do well, because we're not going to see a war on pharmaceuticals like we would have seen with Hillary. That's why we saw defense companies, Boeing, Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, Northrop Grumman, you name it, through the roof, because we know that Trump wants to increase the defense budget by 15%. The market just didn't think that would happen. Then we saw banks go through the roof because, well, wait a minute, maybe we softened Dodd-Frank, and maybe because you see a Trump stimulating the economy, interest rates go up. Well, we know that the Fed's going to probably raise rates in December, but what the market didn't count on is a hotter economy, a more stimulated economy, more economic growth could mean inflation. So we not only know that the Fed's raising rates, probably, we don't know, we think they're going to do this in December, but also if inflation continues to tick up, you're going to see higher interest rates. So that's also good for banks. And that's another reason we saw banks go through the roof over the last several weeks. Infrastructure is another issue. Infrastructure is another area of the marketplace that we've seen do very well. We know that Trump wants to rebuild bridges and airports and roads and tolls, you name it. Because of that, you've seen infrastructure companies like Caterpillar, that makes the big things that move dirt around and that would be involved in a lot of these projects. We've already seen those stocks move. So we've got to remember that a better economy could mean higher interest rates due to the fundamentally hotter economy. And that's part of the reason we've seen this rotation from we've seen interest rate sensitive products and vehicles take a step back over the last several weeks. To the phones, we're going to Chuck, who joins us from Douglasville. Chuck, good morning. What's going on? Welcome to Money Matters.
Good morning, Wes. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I got a real simple question about Social Security. I'm 64 years old. If I was to retire now, I'd make about $2,000 a month, and I'm allowed to make $17,000 a year on top of that, working part-time, whatever.
Right.
Okay, if I wait two more years, it only goes up about $240 a month.
So
okay, I'm thinking the simple math is, look at the taxes I'm going to be paying for those next 2 years. Is it really going to be worth an extra $240 a month to work two more years?
Well, think about what you leave on the table. So you've got, if those are the numbers, it's $2,000 a month, right, times 24 months. So you're leaving $48,000 on the table, right?
Okay.
Now, this is without taxes, but let's call it a gross $48,000 divided by, in the new world, if you waited till 64, you're getting an extra $240 a month. That's a 200-month break-even divided by 12. It's about a 16-year break-even. In fact, I bet you those numbers are even higher. Chuck, if you go back and look, I bet you your Social Security is even more than $240, because if that's the case, then it's a 16-year break even. So you're better off for 16 years before, it takes you 16 years to break even if you wait. And so that's probably the math that you're doing there, right? You're saying that I'm 64, it's going to take me all the way until age 81 basically to break even. Then yeah, go ahead and just take it now. But I bet you that number is even a little bit higher than 240 extra, because the math works, it's about 7.5% gain per year. So it looks like it'd probably be a little more than 2240. I'd check those numbers again. But that's the decision we all have to make, right? I mean, the numbers are very clear. It's a 16 year in the numbers you gave me break even. And we're going to be doing a lot more between 64, Chuck, and 80 than you're going to be doing between age 80 and 96. So if those are the numbers, that it leans towards taking a little bit early. I typically like to see people wait till their full age. I don't typically see people wait all the way to 70. I typically see people, I think 66 is a pretty good year. But if you're fully retired at 64 and you have a little part-time income, the numbers you're telling me, Chuck, then it probably makes sense to go ahead and take it. But again, I go back and check that green Social Security statement, check those numbers. Hey, you're listening to Money Matters. Thank you so much for being with us here. We've got a prize pack coming up. We got a prize pack coming up right here. News, weather, traffic straight ahead. Then more Money Matters right here. News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.
Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Hey, it's prize pack time. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. The prize line, 404-741-0750. Ryan Ely standing by. Quick weather update, though, brought to you by Shoemate. Nothing but sunshine all day. Cloud-free skies. Chilly. Afternoon high in the mid-50s. Clear skies in Atlanta all night. Overnight lows dropping to the low 30s. Ryan Ely, is it prize pack time or what?
It certainly is. The WSB McDonald's weekend prize pack is a family four-pack of tickets to see Atlanta Ballet's Nutcracker playing December 9th through the 24th at the Fox Theater, and a family four-pack of tickets to an Atlanta Gladiators home game at the Infinite Energy Arena. This week's prize pack goes to caller number 5.
I like it. So it's Thanksgiving coming up. It's Thanksgiving week. If you want to find me and the Money Matters team, of course, you can visit wesmoss.com. If you didn't get the full show here, and we talked about Trump's impact on the economy, 5 of the most important potentially impactful Trump policy changes, how they're going to impact you, that's taxes and several different versions of tax, personal, pass through corporate estate, then healthcare, we talked Social Security, consumer prices, and down the line. So if you missed some of that, you can visit wesmoss.com for this show as a podcast under the radio tab, or you can find it in iTunes. If you're in iTunes, you need to search for Wes Moss Money Matters. I actually had trouble finding this the other day because I looked at it under, I was looking up Money Matters. So you just look up Wes Moss Money Matters and you'll find it in iTunes. It's just WESMOSS Money Matters. And that's the deal. So thank you so much for being with us here on a Sunday morning. We have so much fun. And we have so much to be thankful for in this world. And so much to be thankful for in this great nation, really. So enjoy this week. Political differences and all with your family. They love you. And tune in next Sunday at 9 a.m. for more Money Matters. Relish this day, and God bless. Rise up this morning.